In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a blessed Easter morning to everyone. The title of my message this morning is The Faithless Christian. The text is taken from John chapter 20 verses 24 to 31. Now, in the Christian context, there are two kinds of faith. You have objective faith and you also have subjective faith. Objective faith refers to the Christian faith, the fundamental doctrines that are taught in the Holy Scriptures. But subjective faith, on the other hand, refers to our personal trust and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. So subjective faith is actually an exercise of faith. And this exercise of faith is actually personal. It's based on the personal experience of one person, and it cannot be shared with others. So when we speak about the subjective faith of a person in relationship to God, we can either say that the person is faithful or faithless. Faithful person is one that's full of faith. For example, in Acts chapter 6, it speaks about Stephen, one who was full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Then, on the other hand, when the Bible actually refers to those who are faithless, there are actually two kinds of faithlessness. The first kind will refer to those who are unbelievers. These are the people who have heard the gospel, but they have rejected it all their lives, and at the end, when they die in their sins, they will end up in hell as well as the next one. But there is the second kind of faithlessness. And this kind of faithlessness, Thomas wasn't present then. So the Gospel of John only records two of these appearances: the second appearance to Mary Magdalene, and the fifth appearance to the 10 disciples without Thomas. And in the preceding chapters, preceding verses of chapter 20, in verses 19 to 23, this gives a description of the Lord Jesus appearing in his resurrected form to the 10 disciples. The disciples at that time were still very frightened, very afraid. It was just after the crucifixion. They were afraid that the Jews would actually come after them and arrest them. So you find them huddled in a room behind locked doors. And there, while they were there, the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrected form appeared to them. In his resurrected form, he could actually walk through walls. So he appeared before them. He showed them his hands as well as his side. They were very happy to see him, and they were very encouraged. But one person was absent, and that was Thomas. So from verses 24 to 31, we will see one aspect of Thomas, his faithlessness. And his faithlessness is with regard to the appearance of the resurrected Savior. We will learn in these verses three important aspects of faithlessness. The first aspect, from verses 24 to 25, a faithless Christian doubts the truth. So in verse 24, it says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." Thomas was his Hebrew name. He had another name, Didymus, in Greek. In those days, it was very common for Jews to have two names, one a Jewish name and another a Gentile name. Both Thomas and Didymus literally means twin. So he must have been a twin. And here in verse 24, it's recorded that he was absent. He was one of the 12 disciples, but he was absent when Jesus came and met with the 10 disciples. The 11th disciple, Judas Iscariot, who had actually betrayed Jesus, he himself had already committed suicide. So when the 10 disciples met with Jesus, since Thomas was not present, they wanted to tell Thomas that the risen Lord had actually appeared and came into their midst. So in verse 25, the first part, the disciples say, "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord." So the word "seen" here is a word that means we have clearly seen. It means clearly seen. So they're actually trying to tell Thomas that we have clearly seen the Lord. They were trying to emphasize to Thomas that the Lord, the risen Lord, was really with them. He was in their midst. Now you see the response of Thomas in the rest of verse 25. His response was one of doubt. When told the truth, he doubted the truth. And this is what he said: "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." So, except I see in his hands the print of his nails. Print of his nails, these are the scars where the nails actually pierced his hand. And the word "see" here, that is used here, has slightly different meaning from the word "seen," which I have said earlier. Word "seen" means clearly seen. But here "see" gives an idea of having a casual glance. So he's saying here is that if I cannot see casually, easily, the scars of his hands, I will not believe. That is what Thomas is saying. And on top of that, he puts other demands on the disciples. Notice here he says, "And put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." So on top of seeing the scars of his hand, he also wants to put his hand, touch the scars that are on the Lord's hands, and not only that, thrust his hand into the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is where the soldiers had pierced him with a spear. And he says here, "I will not believe." And the word "believe," the word "not" here, is actually an emphatic double negative. What I'm trying to say here is that it has two no's. He's saying that unless and until all these conditions that I can see, that I can touch, are met, I will never, never believe. So this was what Thomas expressed to all the other disciples. He is completely doubtful of the truth that was told to him. So the question is, do we have the same kind of doubts like Thomas? Sometimes in life when we are saved, we doubt our salvation. We even doubt our service. When we read the Word of God, do we actually take it as the truth, or do we doubt exactly what it says? God's Word, for example, says God created this world. We weren't there when He created this world. God's Word also says Christ was crucified. We weren't at His crucifixion. All these events are in the past, even before we were born. Likewise, God's Word also tells us about the future. For example, it says about the second coming of Christ, that He will come and establish His kingdom on this earth. He will rule for 1,000 years. All these events are in the future. We need to believe by faith. Just as for the future and as for the past, God wants us to believe by faith. And not only that, sometimes circumstances in our life cause us to doubt God. When we go through difficult circumstances, trials, for instance, if we lose our jobs, sometimes we begin to worry and be anxious. We lose focus and we forget that God is actually able to provide. We begin to doubt God that He is able to provide for our needs. Now, when we become believers, we begin with the journey of faith. God wants us to continue on this journey of faith and then finally to end up with faith. Now, are you like Thomas, doubting the truth all the time? And do you sometimes even bargain with God, just as Thomas here? I need to see this thing or that thing before I believe you, or before I step out in faith. So the first thing we learn, the first aspect is a faithless Christian doubts the truth. Second aspect of a faithless Christian is that he believes by sight. Only when he sees, then he believes. This is in verses 26 to the first part of verse 29. So in verse 26, after eight days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." So notice that it was only after 8 days that Jesus appeared again in the resurrected form to the 10 disciples, this time with Thomas being present. Now, previously, in the preceding verses, when the Lord Jesus appeared in His fifth appearance to the 10 disciples, they were very happy and they were very encouraged. The Lord Jesus, long before earlier, had told them He would go to Jerusalem, that He would suffer the things of the elders, scribes, and Pharisees to be killed and then to be raised up. And He also promised them that He was going to visit them in His resurrected form. And all these things were fulfilled. The Lord Jesus fulfilled all the promises that He had made to them. So these 10 disciples were happy and rejoicing, but not Thomas, because Thomas, he had doubted the truth that was told to him, so he struggled with his belief. He was full of doubts, and he had to wait 8 agonizing days before the Lord Jesus reappeared to him. And the Lord Jesus Christ reappeared in the same way. They were also behind closed doors, now 11 of them. The Lord Jesus came into their midst, and in His resurrected form, He could actually pass through walls. And He said to them, "Peace be unto you," just as He had said previously in the first time He appeared to them. So now, with this appearance of the Lord Jesus in resurrected form before Thomas, Thomas now had an opportunity to repent. And the Lord Jesus then spoke with Thomas personally. And this is what the Lord Jesus said to him. In verse 27, then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold thy hand, my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. So let us compare the words the Lord Jesus said to Thomas in verse 27 against the words Thomas said to the other disciples in verse 25. In verse 25, he had said to the disciples, but he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. This is what Thomas told the other disciples. Now the Lord Jesus tells Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. So the Lord Jesus repeats the same words that Thomas had told the other disciples. Thomas must have felt very shocked. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, is omniscient, is omnipresent. He heard every single word that Thomas had actually said. Now he invites Thomas to carry out the actions that he demanded of the other disciples. But the question is, did Thomas actually do what the Lord had requested, invited him to do? The Bible doesn't tell us, but likely he didn't dare to carry out what he had demanded of the other disciples. He must have felt very shameful for his faithlessness. Now, many of us may be faithless, like Thomas at times. We are all prone to use our five senses to view this world. If we live in this world, truly we need our five senses. But when we actually consider spiritual matters, we ought to look with the eyes of faith. Now, Satan, the god of this world, is especially clever to use our five senses in order to cause us to sin. He tempts us with the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. We being believers, we bear the name of Christ. Others around, they cannot see Christ, but they can see us. If we were to not to be careful, we may fall into sin, and we will bear bad testimony. So this also tells us how important it is for us to guard ourselves, to guard our eyes, what our eyes see, to guard what our ears hear, and also to guard the places that we actually go to. We all need to bear good witness before the Lord. Then, in verse 27, this is what the Lord said to Thomas after inviting him to carry out his actions, to reach into his side, to touch the scars of his hands. Now he says to Thomas, and be not faithless, but be believing. Be not faithless. This is a command given to Thomas. And the construction of this sentence tells us that it is to stop an action already in progress. Meaning, Thomas, you have been faithless all the while. Now don't be faithless. Be believing. Be believing in what? Be believing in whatever I tell you, whatever I say. It is like the Lord Jesus telling Thomas here, all the while you have been believing when I was with you. Why don't you believe now? And we see the response of Thomas after all this in verse 28. And Thomas answered and then said unto him, my Lord and my God. So a very short answer given here. Thomas had answered with humble response. He felt very humiliated, and he was very ashamed of what he had actually done. So he says here, my. The word my here is a personal pronoun. So it tells him he has a very close relationship with the Lord. And notice the two terms that he actually used to address the Lord Jesus Christ. First, he says, my Lord. Lord tells us of a master-slave relationship. In those days, the slaves did not have any rights. They belong to the master. They have to do whatever the master tells them. So for Thomas, when he actually says, "My Lord," he's actually affirming and submitting to the authority of Christ. Now he's saying, "Whatever you tell me, whatever you command me, I will do." Then he also says, "My God." And my God, this refers to the Creator God. So it tells us of a creator-creature relationship. So he's saying here, when he says, "My God," he's actually acknowledging the sovereignty of God in his life. He now acknowledges God is in control in every aspect of his life. He willingly subjects and surrenders his life before God. If these calamities, difficulties were to come upon him, he will neither murmur nor complain. He will know that God is in control of every situation and that he needn't have to fear. So that was the response of Thomas. So in verse 29, then Jesus says to him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed." Thomas had to see to believe. Thomas must have regretted his faithlessness. So the remedy for faithlessness here is to know who the Lord Jesus is. He is our Lord and he is also our God. So it also tells us how important it is for us to know the Word of God well. If we know who the Lord Jesus is, we need to know the Word of God well. And this calls for us to have a constant study of His Word, to love His Word. In this church, we have many avenues of studying God's Word, from the pulpit, also from your Bible studies group, like Agape groups, and also in various other avenues for you to learn God's Word. The question is, do you actually dedicate time, set aside time for the proper study of God's Word? If you were to know God's Word well, you will know God's will. And knowing God's Word, and if you obey God's Word, that will actually help you not to be faithless. And God will be actually pleased with the life that you actually live. Then in verses 29 to 31, we see the third aspect of a faithless Christian. And this aspect tells us that he is one who does not believe by faith. So a person have a choice to believe either by sight or by faith. If he believes by sight and not by faith, he will be faithless, just like Thomas is. After the Lord Jesus, in verse 29, told Thomas, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed." Now he says, "Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed." In other words, the Lord Jesus is saying, "Thomas, you believe because you saw. But blessed are those who have not seen me, but yet they have believed." Now the word blessed here means to be happy. And you find this word blessed also in the Beatitudes, where he said, "Blessed are they who mourn, blessed are the merciful," and so on. But the meaning of blessedness here does not refer to the kind of earthly happiness that some people have when they have a new job, when they have a new car, a new home. But this blessedness tells us of a state, a happy state a Christian has if he has a personal relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the question is, who are these blessed? Who are these blessed? You and I, we have those who have believed. We have not seen the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet we have believed. When the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, he was no longer physically on this earth. We have, therefore, to believe by faith. Just as for the Old Testament saints, the Lord Jesus Christ was not physically present on earth with them. So what they did was that they looked to the cross. They looked to the coming of Christ. Just as they looked to the coming of Christ, we New Testament saints look back at the cross, the past events. And here, We have not seen the crucifixion of Christ, neither have we seen him die on the cross. We have not seen his resurrection, but we believe by faith. And the Lord Jesus says to us, we are indeed blessed. Verses 30 to 31, he says, and John says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So many other signs, which means miracles, Jesus did. And this he did in the presence of his disciples. There are so many of them, they cannot be recorded in this book. They're not recorded in this book. The Lord Jesus actually did these miracles in order to attest to the disciples that he is truly the Son of God. The disciples, not just Thomas, but the others also suffered at times with regards to their faith. Because when they actually saw the miracles of Christ, they saw his deity, that he is God. On the other hand, they also saw his humanity. He hungered and thirsted just like them. So at times, the faith of the disciples wavered. And for ourselves, we do not have Christ with us, unlike them. So for us, we have to believe by faith. But God has given us his precious word and also the Holy Spirit to guide our lives. Verse 31 says, but these are written that they might believe, that you might believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So the apostles, who were eyewitnesses, actually wrote the word of God. And what is the purpose? It is clearly written here that ye might believe Jesus is the Christ, Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So for those of us who have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 31 clearly says here, he is the Son of God, and if you believe in him, you will have eternal life. Will you, by faith, believe in him this Easter Sunday? Now, years back, before I was called full-time, I was working as a scientist. And being a scientist, it gave me opportunity to appreciate the wonders of God's creation. I was in the field of what you call molecular biology. That means studying life at the molecular level. And there I could see a lot of intricacies and complexities. How complex life is. And indeed, it tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. While science is good, but it also brought me into a darker aspect of science, field of evolution, which is very rampant in the scientific field. At one point in my career, I was assigned by my employer to help start up a lab in evolutionary biology. I did not know what I was getting into. So I went, and when I actually started, the work of a scientist is in doing experiments. After they finish the experiments, they deduce from the results the findings, and then they write a paper and present it and send it to a journal for publication. The motto of every scientist, you either publish or you perish. So I went through all that, but the problem is that when I actually write papers in that particular lab, I had to cite authors that promoted evolution. So every time I did that, my heart was convicted. I felt that I knew that I was doing something that was wrong. So it troubled me a lot. I was then in a previous church before I had joined Calvary Pandan, BP Church. So one day I decided to speak to an elder, to seek his counsel. What shall I do with the situation that I'm in? And when I approached this elder, this was his reply to me. He said, so long as you do not believe in your heart, evolution, you can go on. You can go on writing the papers. Yeah, you are citing, yes, you are citing these people who promote, but they are the ones who believe. So you are okay, you can continue. I was very happy to hear this. I didn't have to rock the boat anymore. So I continued on. But in truth, actually, I was faithless. I was faithless because I did not believe God. I was faithless because I was afraid that I was going to lose my job if I should say it out. And I didn't want to rock the boat. But I continued on. I had no peace. Time and again, when I write these papers, I was burdened. And when I was in Calvary Pandan, I heard a message, and this was about biblical separation. The need for every believer to separate from all kinds of sin. And hearing that, I was convicted. I went to see the senior pastor, Dr. Toh. So this was his advice to me. He was a surgeon at that time. So he says that if anything is bad, right, certain parts of your body is bad, then you just chop it off. So same way, if this part, if you are disobeying God in this area, you have to leave this area. His advice to me actually was, just tell your employers your stand, and then trust God to provide for you. And I thank God he gave me the courage to approach my employer. I wrote to my director and I explained to him the circumstances. I'm a Christian. I do not believe in evolution. So I cannot continue working in this land. At that point, I was prepared. If I had no job, I will leave. Trust God to provide. Thank God he provided me with an alternative. The director said, oh, I can actually put you in another lab that does not deal with evolution. So I continued working there, and later I was called to a teaching career. As I reflect back, okay, I regret being faithless at that time. I wish I had more faith, belief in the Lord, stood up for his faith, and then trusted him to provide for my very needs. Now this Easter morning, as we commemorate the victorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what is the condition of your faith? Is it like Thomas, doubting the truth all the time, believing only by sight, needing to see to believe, and then not believing by faith? God has called us from the very beginning. When we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, we accepted by faith. And he expects our faith to grow over time. We must continue to trust in him more and more. He expects us as we go along this life that our faith increase, that our trust in him should increase, and finally, we should end even in faith, all the way right to the very end. A life that is without faith, you can see that it is full of problems. You have a lot of anxieties, worries that are not necessary. A life that is faithful, full of faith, will bring bountiful blessings to you. So will you be faithless or will you be faithful? Let us pray. Our eternal God and Heavenly Father, how we thank thee for thy precious words spoken. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast saved us, thou hast given us a hope and future. And because thou hast gone to the cross to die for our sins, and thou art risen, we also, as thou live, we also live. We thank thee even for this reminder, how important for us to always express our faith, to increase in our faith unto thee. Help us even to be a faithful people, always, and help us even to, in circumstances that we are in difficulties, to always turn to thee and to trust in thee. We indeed thank thee, and we also pray that perchance there be anyone in our midst who know thee not, that they will come to believe in thee by faith. We thank thee for this time, that we can learn thy word. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.